This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Ian Rappaport, an NFL Network insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. NFL Network provides comprehensive training camp coverage coming up July the 26th, a little over a week away, beginning each day at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And Rap joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Rapsheet.
Sure. What's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, let's start in Carolina. What do you think was the tipping point in why Jerry Richardson fired his general manager just a week and a half before training camp?
Yeah, you know, the timing is weird. Everyone comes back from vacation, including several key staff members, and they had no idea. They literally were informed yesterday morning that this was happening and it had already happened. But there's a couple things that were going on here. You know, the owner and Jerry Richardson, the owner and Dave Gettleman had kind of been on shaky ground for some time. Nobody thought something would happen. In other words, like nobody thought a change like this would take place. But there definitely was some tension, and the issues arose from a couple different things. You know, Gettleman wanted to cut Thomas Davis's playing time and have Shaq Thompson the starter, did not want to give Thomas Davis a new contract. And, you know, he is sort of the lifeblood of that locker room. Gettleman, I'm told, wanted to give Kelvin Benjamin a new contract. Showed up very, you know, overweight to camp. And so, you know, you can understand how that would play in the locker room. You don't want to give Thomas Davis an extension, but you want to give Benjamin an extension. You know, that's something that did not play well. And then, you know, the Josh Norman thing lingered, and obviously, you know, enough people were talking to Jerry Richardson to let him know how bad that was that he decided to pull the trigger even at that time.
Do you think he will regret at all pulling the trigger at that moment?
You know, I guess it depends who he hires. You know, honestly, there's not a ton for a GM to do now. I mean, he set the roster, you know, in late August, early September. You know, that's really one thing. But it's not like they're going to have a ton of really difficult decisions, maybe one or two. So we're not really going to know until next draft, maybe free agency. But we'll see who they hire. You know, if they do an interim for a year, it's possible. If they hire someone now, it's probably a little less likely just because I'm not sure how many candidates would be interested right now. There's a lot up in the air about that Carolina situation. No president, no GM, no assistant GM. Tough.
How close was Jerry Richardson and Thomas Davis?
Very close. You know, they're definitely close. You know, it's been described to me that Davis is like a son to him. And, yeah, I would say they're very close. And Gettleman not wanting to give Davis an extension was definitely a tough one.
Hmm. Ian Rappaport joins us here on the show from the NFL Network. In Washington, what are they thinking by trying to publicly shame Kirk Cousins with that video yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely talked to some other team personnel, some opponents of the Redskins now who are kind of scratching their head and saying, how surprised they are that Bruce Allen, you know, went after a starting quarterback. I'm trying to play PR, trying to play to the fans. I think Cousins took the high road today, as he should have. And I apologize if I lose you. I might go through a bad service area coming up soon. But, you know, rarely do you see a team go after a starting quarterback. But the reality is the Redskins did not come close to an offer that Cousins would have accepted. You know, he can't sign on for a deal that locks him in for five more years and only one of those years is guaranteed because he's already got the franchise tag this year. So this year's already guaranteed. He's already getting it. It's just no team would do that except for the Redskins, I believe.
So you say no team would do that except for them. Why? Because they're the one team that doesn't believe in Kirk Cousins, or that's just the way that they're known to do business?
You know, look, he's your starting quarterback. You don't go after him. You know, you can say you don't agree on business terms. That's fine. That happens. I mean, it's not really a big deal. Teams and players don't agree all the time, but, you know, don't publicly come out and kind of play with the numbers and say what your quarterback did or did not accept, especially when he's talking on the radio the next day. It's just, I was very, very, very surprised by that. Very surprised.
So when you say that they're the only team that would do that, are you saying that that's kind of their reputation around the league, that that's how they do business, which is basically dysfunctionally?
Yeah, I mean, I think what, you know, they've shown in the way they handle it. I wouldn't say dysfunctional, but they made a lot of poor business decisions leading up to what happened yesterday. I mean, obviously, it's a quarterback they should have locked up last year, $20 million a year, $19 a year would have looked like a bargain right now, no doubt about it.
It also makes you scratch your head because Washington's been in the vicious spin cycle of never having a franchise quarterback, basically since Mark Rippon in the early 90s. So shouldn't they, above anybody else, realize how tough it is to find a guy like Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, but you also got to remember it took them a long time to realize RG3 was not the answer either. And I think a lot of us realized, a lot of people realized before they did, it took a long time to embrace Kirk Cousins, and obviously it's, there's still some embracing that needs to happen, and now Cousins wants an extra 6 months to evaluate the organization itself, as is his right.
Do you think that this basically flame torches Kirk Cousins re-signing with Washington in the offseason?
Not at all. Not at all. I think it's all about money. You know, if he goes out and has a good year, everyone will be feeling good. They make a good offer when he's worth. I think he'd accept it. You know, now you might have some other teams interested in the mix. Cousins will certainly know his market this time around. I cannot ignore that factor with teams like potentially the Rams, the Niners, teams very familiar with Cousins. I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic this coming off.
That's really interesting. So you didn't even think the public shaming yesterday by Bruce Allen would turn Kirk Cousins away and say, I'm not playing for these guys long term?
I've seen worse. I've seen teams do worse to players. And, you know, I mean, Vince Wilfork tore apart his locker, took it down, and asked for a trade from the Patriots, and then signed a new contract like a month later. You know, money can solve many, many, many things.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider, joining us here on the show. Do you think the Cowboys are concerned about Ezekiel Elliott's behavior? Wow. That's a pretty good question, huh? All right, that was the impending sound of doom from Ian Rappaport, who called his shot. You got to give him credit. Called his shot, said, I'm going through a bad service area. Rapp is a friend of the show. I will let that slide. I will let it slide. But usually, if you know you're going through a bad area, maybe you want to stop before you go through that bad area when you're doing a national radio spot. I don't know, Rat. I mean, can you do me a solid here? I don't understand Washington in the least. I don't understand Bruce Allen in the least. I don't understand Dan Snyder in the least. I just think that that organization continually does stupid things, which is why they're continually the fourth team of that division. Every so often they'll pop up, have a good year, but they are consistently not a championship caliber team. Rappaport joins us back here on the show. So, Rapp, I was asking you, do you think the Cowboys are concerned about Ezekiel Elliott's behavior?
Well, I think they're getting to that point. You know, it's been a bunch of little things, and I would definitely not call, you know, an altercation of the bar a little thing, but we don't know what happened. There's witnesses saying one thing. There's police have not mentioned his name or included his name in a report. There's a couple anonymous online people who allege one thing. We do not know what happened with Zeke Elliott, but, you know, going 100 miles an hour with a speeding ticket, you know, an incident at the St. Patrick's Day parade. I mean, there's a lot of things where, and obviously the domestic violence situation that the league is investigating, we don't know what's going to happen there. There's just a lot of things that he needs to be careful of, and it just doesn't seem like his behavior is reflecting the scrutiny that he's getting.
Before I let you go, I just want to know how much research you did on Bugatti Casino today. Did you Wikipedia him? Did you have to Google him? What did you do with Bugatti Casino?
What's that?
What did you have to do with Bugatti Casino on this Lucky Whitehead story? You're the NFL insider, so didn't you have to report on Lucky Whitehead's dog being stolen by part-time rapper Bugatti Casino?
I let that... That was a perfect one to let go right over my head.
Ian Rappaport, that's why he's a master at this. NFL Network, 11 a.m. today, and you can check out him on 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the NFL Network's training camp coverage beginning at July the 26th right through August the 9th. Every day, Rapp is an NFL Network insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rappsheet. Thank you, Rapp. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. On Twitter, DA on CBS, and Trash Tuesdays coming in here on the Twitter machine, which is always a fun time. Chuck tweeting in, DA, I'm trashing Michael Vick for his hot take on Kaepernick's hair and then saying he's not good enough.
Taking out the trash.
JHC tweeting, people who drive 15 miles an hour in the left lane but flip you off when you pass on the right.
You're so trashy.
Mike tweets, I'm trashing people who say, where's my invite when you post on social media? It's rude. You wouldn't do that in person.
You're so trashy.
Where's my invite, huh? Haven't seen that one. But yes, I would agree. That's pretty rude. Joven tweets, I'm trashing people who cut me off to exit the highway where I'm exiting and then slam on the brakes just to get back on the highway.
Hot trash.
Well, that sounds very dangerous. That sounds remarkably dangerous. Dan tweets in, DA, I work at an auto body shop with a bunch of ghosts because I'll assure you there ain't much going through their heads.
Epic trash job.
They're jumping out from behind doors to scare you at work. That could be very dangerous. You don't know who's going to punch you right in the face. You just don't know. If you want to trash anybody, hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Looks like my promos are working well. Aaron tweets, STFU with your ads already. I won't listen to you out of spite. They're worse than old, week-old sushi. Okay, cool. So the DA show has become the rotten California role of sports talk radio. I think that's good.
Oh, okay.
Think those promos are working. I think the digital team is right up on top of everything here. Management, think they're all over it as well. I don't see anything here that has slipped through the cracks. Oh, except an entire region of the country hating my guts because randomly on that radio station's web stream, my promos are running incessantly on loop every single commercial break. We were doing the math before. This is great. A regular radio break is usually about 5 to 6 minutes or so. If it's just my promos running, which sometimes it is, and they're 30-second spots, you could hear up to 12 of my promos straight during a commercial break. Sometimes, hey, we cut them down. Sometimes there's only 10 of them, and then there's a minute-long Cars for Kids commercial. But, you know, we like to make sure you really remember that the DA show is on 9 until noon on the CBS Sports Radio Network. Can't see why anybody's annoyed at me. When we come back here on the show, I've teased it long enough. We have to get to the bottom of the Lucky Whitehead Bugatti Casino story. A Cowboys receiver has his dog stolen by a mid-level rapper. Only in America. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the the glitch in the simulation.
We're chewing Big League Chew with Patrick Mahomes.
You gotta kinda like spread it with your tongue and then kinda just blow the air underneath your tongue.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch the show at watchda.com. It's the digital simulcast every single day. Watch the broadcast of the show. Check out what's going on inside the studio. Watch clips of it on YouTube as well and on Facebook. WatchDA.com. You may be wondering who Lucky Whitehead is, even if you're a hardcore football fan. That's okay, you should. He's a 25-year-old backup wide receiver for the Cowboys, who in two seasons at a Florida Atlantic has caught a total of 9 passes. Okay? Last year, he totaled 3 catches for 48 yards, although one of them was a 35-yarder. Two seasons, 9 receptions, 64 yards, no touchdowns. You likely don't know who Lucky Whitehead is. Again, that's okay. Hasn't had a lot of action in the league from an offensive standpoint. But you'll always remember Lucky Whitehead now, because Lucky Whitehead left to go back to his home state of Florida, and in Dallas, left his house, and there was a friend that was supposed to be watching the house every so often, pop back in, make sure everything's okay, and that includes Lucky's dog named Blitz. Blitz is an adorable dog. Blitz stayed back, and then Whitehead gets a call from his buddy who had been watching his home and says, "Hey, Lucky, really bad news. Somebody broke in and stole shoes, stole a bag, and they stole your dog." Lucky Whitehead rushed back home, took the first flight back, realized that his friend was telling the truth the entire time, and was devastated, and then ended up telling NBC5 in Dallas all about it, hoping to get the word out and get Blitz his dog back.
I was down in Florida, but I think it was probably around, I woke up around 10 that Sunday morning, and I had a bunch of texts, a few calls. My boy had texted me and was like, "Hey, did you send somebody to the house? Come get the dog." I was like, "No, what's going on?" He's like, "Man, Blitz is missing. I need you to come home ASAP." So, I mean, I booked a flight that day. I got in around probably like 8 p.m. And he said that somebody came into the house, they took the dog, they took a couple pair of shoes and some bags. And I can get those back whenever, you know what I mean? But, so I'm trying to figure it out. I'm calling people. My boy had got picked up. And I guess whoever picked him up came with somebody extra.
Bum, bum, bum. By the way, that sounded like a rattlesnake in the back, or maybe an anaconda looking to eat Lucky Whitehead, but I think that was just the sprinkler system. So, that takes us to the next part, where Lucky Whitehead says he's been contacted, or had been contacted, by the dog nappers, who told Lucky, "We have your dog. We have Blitz. And we demand $10,000. And Lucky Whitehead, who loves his dog Blitz, and says, "I can buy shoes, I can buy a bag, I can't get my beloved Blitz back," says, "Of course, I'll pay whatever it takes. Just make sure the dog is safe." Oh, no, wait, he didn't say that at all. He goes, "No, I'm not paying $10,000 for him." Lucky Whitehead's like, "I'm so sad, my dog is gone. $10,000? No, sorry, man. I'm not paying that." Lucky says he did offer to pay, quote, some cash, but wouldn't pay $10,000. He then contacted the police following the calls, but detectives couldn't trace the calls because they came from a burner phone. So the story was out there yesterday all day. Lucky Whitehead's dog is missing. But it's from a burner phone. What happened? Who wants a backup Cowboys wide receiver's dog? This isn't Aaron Rodgers' dog. This isn't even Olivia Munn that got kidnapped. Nobody wants Giselle. Nobody wants one of Brady's kids. No. Somebody wants Lucky Whitehead's dog. So,
Somebody is looking for the huge ransom price that'll be paid by a guy that's caught 9 passes in his NFL career. You know, if you're going to go big, you got to go real big. Go big or go home. I don't need J.J. Watt's pit bull. I need a backup wide receiver's dog. So in this case, the story is out. It's on the news. It's everywhere. And that's when Dallas area rapper Bugatti Casino posts a profanity-laden video last night claiming that he had blitz. And Bugatti Casino, the rapper, said, if you want the dog back, you got to pay $20,000. Here's the video.
I ain't stole no dog. Hell is you talking about? We ain't stole no dog. Hey, you talking about his ex-bitch bought that? Hey, you talking about over at us? We cashed out for that hoe. We not knowing this dog. I don't follow that. Hey, you talking about find out it was his dog. So I let that know. Say, bro, you looking for your dog? They say, you looking for your dog? I want my money back. Just give me my money. I paid for the dog. You can get your dog back, bro. It's simple, bro. Ain't stole nobody dog, bro. You know a nigga ain't stole your dog, bro. Now you finna put your business in the streets, bro. On some whole other level type shit, bro. You know a nigga ain't stole no dog, bro. You making it seem like all little extra. I don't give a damn about this shit. I don't know. But you know, he had that dog or whatever. Brought that dog over here and we bought that. And all I'm asking for is our money back. And you can have that dog. Stop trying to make it seem like a stealing dog. I look like stealing a dog, bro. Come on, bro. Y'all people crazy as hell, bro. Understand that.
Who stole your dog, bro? I didn't steal your dog, bro.
I ain't stole no dog, bro.
Don't you know that? I'm Bugatti Casino. I didn't steal no dog.
I ain't stole no dog.
So, if you couldn't tell there, because I'm pretty sure I couldn't really tell either. I need a transcript of that. I would love that testimony transcribed in court. Did you get that? You get that? He said he didn't steal no dog, by the way, just clarified. Bugatti Casino said he didn't steal the dog, but the dog was sold to him. And that he needed the money back that he paid for the stolen dog. Look, we've all been there. You buy a dog in the black market, it costs $20,000. You don't know where it came from. No papers, no nothing. You fork over the 20 grand. Then you realize it had been stolen from a professional football player, and then you just want the money back. We can all relate to that story, right? Who hasn't paid $20,000 in the black market for a dog that you end up finding out was stolen from a professional athlete? So, at the end of the day, at 4:32 a.m. this morning, Bugatti Casino then posted another video that showed Blitz being safely returned to Lucky Whitehead. It is unclear how much Whitehead paid the rapper for the return of the dog or what he paid, but I find this rather interesting in this way. Why is a rapper spending $20,000 on a dog that he doesn't know where it came from, then demanding the money back, and then Lucky Whitehead, who refused $10,000, somehow got it back? So, like, did the asking price for Blitz go from 20 grand to like $500? And is Bugatti Casino okay with that depreciation in value? Is this like, you know, driving a Bugatti, let's say, off of the lot? Where you drive it off, you just spent $100,000, and then the moment you drive it off the lot, like, it depreciates to like 7 grand? Like, what happened to the value of Blitz? First, the dog nappers wanted 10 large, then Bugatti wanted 20 large. Lucky Whitehead wouldn't even pay the 10 and somehow got the dog back. Bugatti's like, look, I spent the 20 grand. I really want the 20 grand back, but I can see how much the dog means to you. Buy me a Slurpee, we're okay. We all right? Yeah, I'm fine.
I ain't stole no dog.
And stop putting your stuff in the streets. Lucky? I mean, if that's not one of the great sports stories of 2017, if there's not an ESPY involved in that story next summer, I will be thoroughly disappointed. It has everything that you need. I wish there was a 30 for 30 on this. What if I told you a mid-level rapper in the Dallas area spent $20,000 for a backup wide receiver's dog?
I ain't stole no dog.
It's a 30 for 30 crafted by Blue Moon.
Taste the coriander.
I ain't stole your dog.
I ain't stole no dog.
I have said this so many times in my life to friends of mine as well. I ain't stole your dog, man.
I ain't stole no dog.
I don't know where your dog is.
I ain't stole no dog.
I told you I ain't stole no dog.
I ain't stole no dog.
What, do I look like a dog stealer to you? Happy to know, though, as you mentioned, Bogish, Bugatti Casino's mixtape drops later this month.
Still on schedule.
Good.
Can't hold him back.
You know you can't.
Available on iTunes.
No, you can't. Puts in the work. And the guy puts in the work. Let's face it. He's a hustler. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. D.A., CBS Sports Radio. I ain't stole your dog, Andrew Bogish.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I'm happy for you and Merez, and I hope success keeps coming as it did on the DA show. You've come a long way since the overnight DA.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Not a good story about LeBron James being quote-unquote concerned about his franchise and frustrated by the Cavs offseason. A piece done in USA Today suggests that LeBron right now is bothered that there was no aggressive offseason approach and that the Warriors simply got better and that the front office is in shambles right now in Cleveland and they missed out on Jimmy Butler and Paul George and that it seems like everybody else had an aggressive summer trying to become championship caliber teams. The only additions that the Cavaliers really made, they re-signed Kyle Korver, signed Jose Calderon, and Jeff Green. Certainly not enough to really make a splash from where the Cavs were. I think this is something that we all kind of sensed. I think it's something that we all kind of figured. But it is very worrisome if you are a Cavalier fan and you see Dan Gilbert thinking small time, not big time. And that means he's ignoring the next calendar year and how vital that is to the organization. If you are going to make moves, if you are going to move general managers around, do it after LeBron leaves. Because there is nothing you can do right now that is going to set you up for the post-LeBron era well. If LeBron is going to leave anyway, you need to do everything you can for the next calendar year to try to win another title. Because the moment LeBron walks out the door, the franchise gets rendered irrelevant again. It's a sad truth. It's unfortunate. It's sad. It's a great fan base. It's a great sports town. They're deserving of a winner. They have a winner. But when LeBron walks out that door, you're going to be signing big-time free agents to Cleveland? Can you even keep Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving there? Do you want to keep Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love there if LeBron leaves? Or do you go back to being the team that wins the lottery? Because you could go back and end up becoming the team that wins the lottery because you're that bad, but doesn't always net you LeBron James. Sometimes it nets you Anthony Bennett. So careful what you wish for. If Dan Gilbert is going, well, hey, I need to make sure we're set up for if LeBron leaves next year, there's nothing anybody that you hire is going to be able to prepare you for. Take advantage of this right now. And I think Gilbert is power drunk yet again. I think he doesn't want to be bullied by LeBron, and he spent a ton of money in luxury tax, and they've got a huge payroll, and look, it has delivered a winner. But do you really want to go back to the bad old days? You really? You think that anybody can do this job? You think it doesn't matter if you're upsetting LeBron? I'm not saying you've got to placate LeBron with every single move, but does this feel like this was some type of planned offseason for their front office? Or does it kind of seem like there was no plan, but Dan Gilbert just didn't want to spend more money on a GM? So he let Griffin walk and then didn't sign Chauncey Billups and kind of didn't have an answer elsewhere, and whoops, okay. So free agency has passed. The draft has passed. And now LeBron is frustrated by the way that the offseason has gone. And that the Houston Rockets have supplanted the Cavs as Carmelo's potential destination. If the Cavs do land Carmelo, you got to say it's a good offseason. Because if they land Carmelo, it obviously gives them another great scorer. It doesn't give them defense, doesn't give them rebounding, but if they don't have to give up anything of note to get them like Kevin Love and they add Carmelo, that's a good offseason. But if the Rockets end up getting Carmelo and the Cavaliers walk away from this offseason by re-signing Kyle Korver as their big move, yeah, LeBron should be frustrated, especially since they don't have a GM in place. It's a joke. Let's get your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the Cut Line.
Lonzo Ball earns MVP awards from the Summer League. He doesn't play in the championship game, but the Lakers end up winning the Summer League. How much do we look into that? How much do we read into that? Lonzo Ball, when he was on the floor, was very good. He was a playmaker. He got his teammates involved. He helped win. He filled up the box score. He was a threat to put up a triple-double each time out. He could be very, very good. He could be very, very good. I'm not going to say he's going to be an all-time great. Obviously, it's only Summer League. He's playing against other rookies and then fringe NBA players. But obviously, Lonzo Ball has elite talent. And if he can somehow shake away from the never-ending drama that is his dad and his family, he's going to be okay, and the Lakers have a good one. Does it mean, though, that the Lakers have taken this next great step into becoming a contender because they won the Summer League? Not at all. The Kings have won Summer League recently. The Lakers winning Summer League does not equate into this next great era of Lakers basketball.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Carlos Beltran is one of the greatest fielders in Astros franchise history. He obviously has played other places as well, but he has only been a DH in limited time this season. He's 40 years old. Well, yesterday before the game, Astros with a pretty funny little scene where they put on a sketch. They put on a skit in center field where they had a tombstone that said RIP, and they buried Carlos Beltran's glove. Brian McCann donned a black robe to officiate the service. The players formed a semicircle around him and knelt as the glove was placed in a shoebox, and three faux tombstones that read RIP were placed around it. Beltran was loving the joke. He recorded it on his phone. This is pretty funny, pretty clever. It shows you how interminable the baseball season is, that you've got to basically entertain yourself because it's so boring and it's so long that you got to stage fake funerals over gloves. But also it goes to show you how good the Astros are, that they are feeling this good and doing well. that they can joke around like this. I mean, the Astros have been a machine for most of this season. The Astros have 62 wins. They lead their division by 15 and a half games. They have the second best record in all of baseball. And it reminds you that Carlos Beltran's old. I mean, you know, Beltran was one of the greatest defensive center fielders ever. That was a guy that could turn and chase down almost anything. Graceful, beautiful, defensively, just one of the best. When he was in his prime with the Royals, and then the Astros when he was traded there, the New York Mets, on. He just could track down anything. And now you realize when they're joking around because they've got to bury his glove, it means that Beltran suddenly got real old. And that's the passage of time. And that's depressing.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, don't eat that hot dog. 7 million pounds of hot dogs have been recalled by Sabret. The recall affects beef and pork hot dogs and sausages produced on various dates between March the 17th and July the 4th. Oh, good. So that narrows it down. So if you bought Sabret hot dogs between St. Patty's Day and Independence Day, you'll want to throw those out or worry that you have bone fragments inside of you. The agency says the recalled products have been blamed for one minor oral injury. Purchasers are encouraged to throw them away or return them to the store where they bought them. Apparently there's bone fragments in a couple of these bad boys, which has got to be a great trip back to King Cullen. Oh, wait a second. These Sabrets that I ate 5 out of the 6 hot dogs were down to one last hot dog, but I bought it on March the 20th. Can I bring it back? I mean, I felt fine, but who knows? Maybe this one has the bone fragment in it. Like, can you bring back a half-eaten pack of Sabret hot dogs to the Piggly Wiggly from 3.5 months ago? Yeah, I know these were recalled. Yeah, but you ate almost all of them. Yeah, but I bought them. There's one left. There's mold on this. Yeah, well, there could be bones in it. So I need the pro rate on this. What is that? Okay, that'll be 49 cents. Here you go. Bring back that one last Sabret.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Maybe the wienership isn't such a great idea. All right, that's your cut line this morning. Let's get to your epic fail. So there was a Predators fan that didn't check his Twitter for more than a month and just looked at it the other day and realized, oh, wait, I had one Stanley Cup final ticket. Unbelievable. And that obviously could have been the epic fail this morning. However, even better was Kings fans loving on their official website, trolling the Lakers fans for not knowing their players.
Even the DH show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
One of their reporters began trolling Lakers fans at Summer League, asking LA fans how they think Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, will do this year, or Ned Stark. That's from Game of Thrones, is that correct? Ned Stark, a character from Game of Thrones.
Ned Stark, how do you think he might contribute to that Lakers-Kings rivalry?
I'm hoping he'll do good, just like every rookie for my team, because I've been a diehard fan since I was born.
Sean Carter, what are your thoughts about him, your first impressions, how he might contribute?
I think he played better than I thought he was to begin with. I definitely feel like he has a lot of potential.
First of all, I love the creativity. I love trolling fans that don't know anything and having them sound like they think they know what's going on.
What the hell's going on out here?
But there is a real fear of mine. Does not show you that you actually don't really need to know anything about sports to sound like you kind of know something about sports. This is, by the way, my career. This is what I have decided to invest my life in.
Don't ask me about my business, Kate.
Is it true?
Don't ask me about my business.
No.
What you've just seen is that people that know nothing about the actual sport can spew enough cliches to where it sounds like they kind of know.
But you take it one day at a time.
So what do you think about power forward Chef Boyardee?
It's my own Chef Boyardee spaghetti dinner with meat sauce or mushroom sauce. It all comes in one carton.
Well, you know, he can rebound pretty well, I think. He's got some good footwork down to the blocks. Do we think that head coach Grover Cleveland has what it takes to kind of lead this team to a championship?
This is more work than in my previous life.
Yeah, I think we do. I think so. He's shown some really good leadership possibilities. You actually don't need to know anything to do this job. So the backcourt of Bert and Ernie, will they end up helping out defensively? Yeah, you know, Bert's a really good lockdown defender.
Ernie, if you're so thirsty, why don't you just get up and get yourself a glass of water, huh?
I can see Mraz falling for that.
Mraz would totally, yes.
Don't get me started on the charcuterie board.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Can't wait to hear the magic of Mraz's cruise. Somehow, this is the only cruise that ends up at a Ghirardelli chocolate factory in Midland, Florida. Thought he was on a cruise going to the Bahamas. Somehow yesterday he ended up driving around Orlando trying to find the Ghirardelli chocolate factory. I didn't think there was much. How did you get a cruise ship over to Orlando, Mraz? Just docked at Disney World, docked right at Epcot, just drove right up. Hey, Captain, could you turn this ship just to the right a little bit? I just wanted to stop off at Epcot so I get one of those galactic gobbler turkey legs. And a chocolate sundae. Then we can just get on our way here, guys. Okay. Hey, that'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan as your producer today, and Ryan Hickey on the digital broadcast stream. I'm DA. Tomorrow and Thursday show live from Kansas City. Looking forward to that, so I'll see you tomorrow morning. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects. I ain't still no dog!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.